Bethel Sewer Study.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
I'm here before you this morning to present for your consideration a proposed memorandum of agreement between Sussex County and the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control for the study for the most effective manner to provide sanitary sewer service to the town of Bethel. The county, at the department's request, is preparing to commence a request for proposal for sewer service to the town, and the department desires to participate by providing an amount not to exceed $40,000 towards the study. If approved, the county will then solicit proposals for engineering and technical services for the service area, which includes the town of Bethel and the area deemed as an area of concern in the town's comprehensive land use plan. There are three options outlined in the proposal. Option one would be a collection system designed for the Bethel service area and a transmission center that would pump effluent to Blades, Seaford for the treatment and disposal. Option two is a collection system designed for Bethel service area and a transmission system that would pump effluent to Laurel for treatment and disposal. And a third option would be a collection system designed for the Bethel service area and a transmission system that would pump effluent to a standalone treatment facility for treatment and disposal. This option will be requested as an alternate bid, as the funding supplied by DNRAC may not permit this option to be explored completely.
How about sending it down to Maryland?
Yeah. Well, those options are, explain that to me, help, please. Any of those options could be
They'll explore those options, give us pricings and schedules available.
Okay, so they're all open then?
Yeah, they'll review with Laurel whether there's capacity, Seaford whether
Laurel
there's capacity.
A capable system?
We feel that there is, and I believe
okay,
that
okay,
has
all right,
as well.
Sure. Okay.
You have a motion, sir. I'm sorry, Mr. Phillips.
On option three, you say the 40 is not going to cover.
Well, we're not sure. I think once the RFP goes out and they look at it, and we get the alternate or the bids back, whether it's covered or not, that'll give us the option to explore that third option or not.
And if it doesn't cover it, you'll be back to see if we'd allocate a little bit more money, or is that something the administrator can do unilaterally?
We would probably come back, depending on the amount of money we see the proposal come in at, whether we think it's a viable option or not.
Okay.
So we're simply pumping to another processing plant?
Possibly. The third option would be to build a facility for Bethel.
Mm-hmm.
We do that at Selbyville. We pump from Selbyville to South Coastal. So Bethel, pump it somewhere.
But not to our plant.
No.
As long as it gets treated.
Well, there you go.
Any more questions, Council?
Just to clarify, this is to study.
This is just the study.
That's right.
We're not sending anything anywhere yet.
I'm just curious. Were there problems? I didn't realize they were having problems in that area with that.
When we did our original Western Sussex look, there was some,
issues.
Were some failing systems and stuff out there.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Not a real cost-effective way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
My one final question would be, who's going to do the study in-house?
The RFP will go out to probably three or four different engineers for proposal.
Okay. Let me just ask you this. I mean, wouldn't it be pretty easy just to find out what capacity Seaford has, what capacity Laurel has by calling them up?
As far as that goes, yes. But
well,
actually, the cost
wouldn't that eliminate paying somebody to study something that we could find out by a phone call?
Well, you got
to
get it there.
Well, they've got to find. They're going to do the collection to find out how many EDUs are there, how much flow has to go.
Right, but if they don't have the capacity, Mike, there's no sense even studying how much it gets to take it there, because we can't take it to some place that doesn't have capacity or does not want to give us capacity. So why don't we explore that first? Before we pay somebody to study options that may not even be, I mean, I could probably call up and find out this afternoon on a lot of this stuff. I mean, does that not make sense? And then that would lower our cost of the potential study that we would be engaging in by just having some of the staff make some preliminary investigating.
And we design the system anyway. They don't.
We have engineers.
We do that.
No, we don't. We have other
people. So that
people
study
do that.
Would be for that?
Well, whatever, we normally give these out to other people, right? Then we would go put another RFP out for...
Most likely for the design.
For the engineering.
For the design.
And all that other stuff, so...
But this study's not for that.
No, this is just to identify capacities that need to be provided, preliminary pipeline alignments and that kind of stuff to find out what all has to be served, what can be served, and then to figure out whether it's more cost-effective to go to one or the other, or if they don't want us, don't bother.
But we could find that. What I'm saying is we could find a lot of that out before we'd even had to give it out to consultants. Instead of spending $100,000, we might have to, because you say Seaford wants it. Let's figure that out.
I mean, option two may just be dead right off the start if Laurel doesn't want it. Then we look at option one and three. We have more money then to put towards option three as a standalone, as our alternate.
But part of this whole thing has got to be somebody's got to determine what the EDUs are.
What all kinds of
flow
we're going
to be pumping somewhere. I mean, that's... You can't call everybody in Bethel and say how many, whatever. I mean, it's...
Phil, our engineers do that?
Well, Mike, some of these towns, I'll just say this, some of the towns may not, they may see growth. They may see within their town. They have limit. They know what capacity they have. They know what growth they are acquiring, or if they've had any growth discussions in their town councils. And they may say, sorry, at this time, we don't want to give up any of this stuff. So I can understand it, or Seaford or something like that, because Seaford's taken on Blades, and we're going to see expansion of that area. So there may be some, like I said, some easy questions answered.
And we may be able to do that right now. Jennifer Walls from the state is here, and she may have some input as to to that answer.
Come right on down.
Came all the way down.
Well, Mr. Ashman's point still stands. Should we not be able to do one and two, simply leaves more money to look at number three.
The study for number three.
Hi. Please, identify yourself.
My name is Jennifer Walls. I'm a planner with the Division of Watershed Stewardship with the Department of Natural Resources. I've been working with John to develop this MOA and the proposal. We've been working with the community of the town of Bethel to address their wastewater concerns. The community falls within 1,000 feet of Broad Creek. If the proposed wastewater regulations are promulgated, then that community, every resident in that community will be facing potential upgrades to their wastewater treatment, to their septic system. The community is very concerned about how that will impact them and have requested an evaluation to determine what their options might be and what would be most cost effective. As a follow-up to the proposed study here, the department will be working with the community to evaluate what their options are and what the costs would be to upgrade their existing septic system. So there is a fourth option. All of these options ideally would be taken back to the community for them to look at and make a determination on what the best course of action would be for them. So that's why we've asked to look at Laurel as a potential, Seaford as a potential, a standalone system, and then, of course, the fourth will be the upgraded system.
I think we need the report.
Yeah, once the three options are established and they go compare them to what it would be to upgrade the septic system, so that...
But first, I can't imagine that we wouldn't approach Laurel and Seaford first saying, look, we want to do a study, we want to do this. You ought to know right now the capacity of Laurel
talked with both communities. They both have capacity or potential capacity. This is a long-term, long-term. Both communities have agreed... that this to look at this these options.
They're not paying for it.
Right, but to they've agreed to the study and that
study. No, we're going to pay for the
state's paying for it.
We're paying for the study.
We're paying for the study.
The MOU.
Right. At this point, the county's not.
If you spend your money that way, go ahead.
To spend any money, we're just asking you to take on the project.
I was afraid that the sewer study would have been a county.
Well, it may come back to us, George, if they run out of money before they're done.
Oh, yeah, but the study, if they want to study all kinds, you can study till the cows come home. But I would just think you could ask the town council, we know you have capacity, would you be willing to accept this?
And
they ought to go on record as the elected officials saying, yes, we would entertain it, then move forward and ask the same thing of Laurel. Because I think that doing all this studying without getting them on board saying, yeah, we're willing to do this.
Well, and by, I think, I believe both, I know Laurel submitted a letter to the council in support of this project, which I believe indicates that they would be willing to take that on and have the capacity.
I just was trying to find if there is that kind of.
I think they just want, they want to know the, you know, they want to know the kind of flow they're taking before they say absolutely that they want it. You know,
no one's ready to commit to anything.
But they're willing to.
The concept.
Okay.
Are representatives of Bethel here today?
They are not.
When you reference repeatedly, Bethel wants this, Bethel wants that. Are you working under a proposal that was voted on by the council? They do not have an administrator. Who gives you the authority to say these things?
We've been, we've met with the town council and as part of our development and review of the watershed implementation plan for the Chesapeake Bay. And so we've worked with them. I believe they also submitted a letter requesting this study to council as well.
What's the population we're looking at?
About 300.
How much?
300 people.
And that's total. That's including a whole family. So you wonder how many households. Do you have that?
I believe it's about 177. Yeah,
that's the town. That's the town. Then there's an area of concern, which you'll see in orange there. Is,
okay.
Part
so
of their
about 170 plan. Plus, you're yeah, saying, maybe? Plus. So homes, households?
You're talking about a small village here, and I'm afraid that the further down this path we go, the greater the chance of destroying that village will be. You're dealing with an elderly population on limited incomes. And they're very scared right now because on the one side, you've got folks from your department talking about sewer upgrades that could cost $5,000-$6,000. And then on the other side, you've got folks looking at putting in a central system that will cost them possibly hundreds of dollars a quarter, not to mention the the installation and hookup charges.
That's exactly why we wanted to undertake this study, so that they would have the information and could make an educated decision on what was the best option for them.
And would there be funding included to help the folks reach that goal? I mean, if they have to tremendous amount of money to hook up, is there any kind of funding grants available?
The Clean Water Advisory Council, now known as the Water, I think the Water Infrastructure Advisory Council, they have funding available
to assist
homeowners in, you know, either low interest loans, no interest loans, some grants in some cases, and we're looking at options to further to make additional funding available for that as into the future.
When we set up new sewer districts here, we have a referendum process. Is that going to be a part of the Bethel project?
I believe that if this thing comes back, that they would be going to Laurel or going to Seaford, it would have to be a referendum process.
Very good. I like that.
More questions of council?
Were the options still there for them to possibly do the septic upgrades? I don't want to say we're going to have a referendum because we may not.
Sure.
Well, if that's more cost-effective,
there's going to be no central sewer system. Correct. You wouldn't have
no.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
You have a motion, Mr.
I do have a motion. Be it moved that Sussex County Council President is hereby authorized to execute a memorandum of agreement with the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control to complete a study for the sanitary sewer service for the town of Bethel as presented on December 10th, 2020.
Question. Are you getting an administrative fee?
Am I getting an administrative fee?
The department.
Get an administrative fee?
They're paying.
It doesn't matter.
You will be administering it.
Yeah. Yes. The, that's
I mean,
all
we,
sort of.
We
all
normally get 10%, Jessica. If you'd like to allocate that.
County gets.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
More questions.
What was that? The key.
There's no motion made.
Okay. All right.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Not Vance's motion.
No,
but
motion, Mrs. Deaver, second, Mr. Phillips, that we have the authority to sign this MOU.
MOA,
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Between the county and DENREC, I guess, to do this sewer study for the town of Bethel and the surrounding area.
Yes.
Any questions on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm. Lawson.
Okay. Productive day so far. Thank you, Council. we're moving into old business, and the old business item on the agenda is an ordinance to amend Chapter 52, Section 52-18C and E of the Code of Sussex County in regard to the sealing of the drawing specifications, etc., by an architect and or engineer. Just to update the council, this is a continuation of work that we've been doing both in council and on staff level on perhaps addressing our code as it relates to the sealing of plans by both architects and engineers. This goes back several years, concern raised by the state in the way that our code is written, and there are varying points of view as to whether or not we our code is in conflict with the state right now. In November 27, 2012, we introduced an ordinance that was in the packet today for your recollection. And on January 8th of this year, 2013, we had a public hearing. At that public hearing, we deferred action. Since then, staff have been working with stakeholders in the state, including the Attorney General's Office, Board of Architects, and the Delaware Association of Professional Engineers to come up with a solution, if you will, to this issue. Currently, I would tell you that there is no solution yet, but we did want to bring this to the council's attention as an update and wrapping up this year, and also to continue to have discussion. We were not able to predict the fact that we don't have a full council today to work on this item, but we can certainly have a discussion. So with that, we'll open it up to any questions or concerns you have. We have staff here to address any items you have, and we also have some representatives from the professional community if you have any questions.
Well, there you go. There are some limits to what we can and can't do. We have to work with the state, do we not, on this?
I'm sorry.
We have some limits on what we can or can't do on this. I mean, we're working with the state code, I guess, the state law on this. Is that correct?
If I could answer that, this ordinance, this proposed ordinance was sent to us and drafted by the attorney generals who are assigned both to professional engineers and the Board of Architects. When we first looked at it,
right,
and this was back in November of 2012, we had looked at the possibility of adding some exclusions to that for agricultural structures as well as residential structures. If you read the code sections, the Delaware code sections, for the architects, it's very clear because it states that there are certain residential is excluded as well as certain agricultural buildings. With the engineer's code, it is not so clear because basically the definition is if it's engineering, it's engineering without the same clear definitions as set forth in the architect's code. What has been problematic with both boards and the AG's office is we have a 5,000-foot absolute exclusion written in our code, which is inconsistent with both the architects and the engineers because it goes across the board, whether it's commercial dwelling or commercial residential dwelling, industrial, whatever. It just says we have a 5,000-foot exclusion, which is inconsistent. So what this proposed ordinance does, it states that first we're deleting that 5,000-foot exclusion in both instances where it's mentioned. And secondly, it says if there are any drawings or specifications or accompanying data, if any such drawings shall meet the requirements of the Delaware Code. So if it's in one of the exclusions in the Delaware Code, it would be excluded in our code as well. So for example, architects, there would be an exclusion for the one to two family residential, the certain ag buildings, it would be excluded, would not need it. So only if it meets the requirements of the Delaware Code, then it would have to have it. The second part of it is that if there are any seals to be given, those seals must be a Delaware licensed architect or engineer, not someone from out of state, because it's my understanding in the past there may be some plans that were stamped by architects or engineerings out of state as opposed to in state. So what this ordinance does is state that to the extent that there are requirements of Delaware Code requiring architects or engineers to sign, they shall sign it. And if they are required to sign, that it has to be a Delaware licensed architect or engineer.
And the state already says it has to be Delaware?
Yes.
Licensed?
Yes. What this ordinance does is put this in compliance with the state. As Mr. Lawson alluded, we have been having some meetings trying to get some definitions of this, mm-hmm. and the area that was more difficult was concerning the engineers, as I indicate,
right.
because there's not a clear definition as the architects have. The architects have very clear definition as to what would be included and what is excluded, where that is not the case with the engineer.
Does it mean any kind of engineer? I mean, there's a couple different types of engineers, and aren't there many types of, or a couple types of architects, like landscape architects? Is there such a thing as a landscape architect?
They're defined in the code. I have the code in front of me. Engineer is defined specifically within the code, and as well as the practice of engineering is defined within state code. And no,
you have to have a copy of what practice of engineering is.
I do have a copy of practice
of
engineering.
Pass that down to the council.
Did you get your answer there, George?
There's a couple types of engineers. So, what type of engineer can seal these plans that we're talking about?
Engineer.
Well,
for instance,
the definition of an engineer shall mean a person who, by reason of special knowledge and use of the mathematical, physical, and/or engineering science and principles of the methods of engineering analysis and design acquired by an engineering education through graduation with a baccalaureate degree from a council-approved four-year educational program in engineering, in engineering technology, or in science related to engineering, is qualified to begin the path to licensure.
Well, please, Mr. Lawson, for public record here, would you read what the definition of the practice of engineering is?
Practice of engineering, per Delaware Code, is... Practice of engineering or to practice engineering includes any professional service performed for the general public, such as consultation, investigation, evaluation, planning, design, or reasonable supervision of construction or operation in connection with any public or private buildings, structures, utilities, machines, equipment, processes, works, or projects wherein the public welfare or the safeguarding of life, health, or property is concerned or involved, when such professional service requires the application of engineering principles and data, but it does not include the work ordinarily performed by persons who operate or maintain machinery or equipment, neither does it include engineering services performed by an employee of a firm or corporation that does not offer professional engineering services to the general public.
For the record, he had read reasonable supervision. It was responsible supervision.
Okay. Excuse me.
What does it mean in practice? what we're doing here, we had a lot of work that wasn't sealed by architects, is what I understand, in the county. And how would this affect that? How would this affect the consumer, just generally?
Want me to attempt that? In general, this will require more plans to be sealed that are brought forth to the county for approval. If you don't fall within a small exception mm-hmm. for architecture, you will be required to have your plan sealed. For engineering, if you fall within that definition, which is less than clear to me at least, you may have to have your plan sealed. That will be a greater expense to anyone that comes before our staff to have a project approved and get a permit pulled. Will be the end result of that.
Is it just projects? Is it, does it get down to somebody, is it come down to a single-family home?
No.
Come down to a duplex?
It depends. Engineering would, architecture would not currently.
Specifically, one meeting, I asked a specific question. What is the definition of engineering? Like I said, the architects is very clear that it excludes the residential dwellings, the one- and two-family residential dwellings. And the answer was, if it's determined to be engineering, it's engineering. And it could not give a further definition because a residential structure could be designed in such a way that there's maybe certain spans that are being used, and those spans are such that maybe an engineer should look at those. Or, you know, we don't have the cliffs here, but if there was some cantilever deck out over a large area, that would be something that an engineer would need to design. So it does not exclude residential, but if it's determined to be resident or to be engineering.
By who? Who's the guy who's doing all this determining?
Well, I believe in practice it would be the person at the counter reviewing these plans. It would be our plan review. Our county staff would be the ones that.
Just one of our staff people at the counter would have the ability and the training to be able to look at plans and determine if it needs an engineer? Is that what?
Well, one of the, and again, during the discussion, one of the, and it was questioned what happens in other counties and how do you determine, and I believe I'm correct in my recollection that if our planners look at something and it complies with all the codes, then they're okay to sign off on that. Because our codes set up specific criteria, the building codes. If it is something beyond those, then they would be alerted that maybe an engineer needs to sign off on that.
Well, I'm totally confused.
Right, you can come down to the podium, please.
Good morning.
How many sets of plans would you say your office reviews in a year's time that you tell the people they need to go back and get them stamped or sealed or whatever you go back and get done?
Maybe not as a whole set of plans, but maybe a certain portion of the plans. I would say anywhere maybe to a quarter to a third of the plans that we see vary from some degree of engineering or architecture that we don't feel comfortable or they fall outside the scope of our code that we enforce that says, look, we need to have you take this somewhere, have a design professional certify it, saying it's meeting or the intent of the code or anything mostly structural.
What I guess the question would be from the engineering side, what would that exclude anything? There's no exclusions at all. It's everything.
Well, the way the code comes in. I say if I add, the way the code's kind of set up, it's a prescriptive layout as a recipe. If you're building, and I'm going to use a single-family home as an example, you have the floor, four walls, roof, ceiling. Within the code, they make a basic design through national design standards and everything that's been kind of taken over the last 50 years that says if you build it this way, you fall within the intent and structural stability of a code. It's basically and I'm confident myself and my staff have the ability to look at a set of plans, and if it goes outside of that scope, then it says, look, we don't feel comfortable or we're not sure, then the design professional should step in and say, yes, it either meets the intent or they might have to prescribe their own design to say, if they do it this way, then they're certifying that it's going to be structurally sound.
Let me turn my question around the other way.
Okay.
Of all the plans you see, how many of those beyond what you're doing today do you think additionally would have to be stamped by somebody? I mean, what you just said, you already do this.
Correct.
If the determination for what it requires is done at the staff level, your staff is already looking at it.
Correct.
And you're requiring probably 25% to 30% anyway to go out and get somebody to stamp or whatever.
Right.
How would that change anything by?
It wouldn't. Right now, if the continuing process where we're going, and again, it's not as a whole set of plans. It might just be a certain section.
Sure.
Maybe 5% or 10% would
Additional.
Additional.
I wonder how many.
If that.
I wonder how many, this is just a, there's no answer to this, but I wonder how many people, by putting this additional requirement that you've got to go out and get whatever, how many people, I wonder, are we going to deter from even coming to get a building permit? They're going to say, I'm not going through all that stuff. I'm going to build what I'm going to build. Somebody catches me, they catch me. But if not, I'm going to just, I mean, you don't know. I'm not, exactly. There's no answer to that. I'm just thinking out loud how many people in the public were going to deter me from coming and getting the building permit to have it reviewed. Because certainly it costs something to have that stamp. I don't know what it costs, but it costs something. That's a fee that somebody's going to charge.
I understand.
And I wonder how many, especially small projects, are going to say, eh, I'm not doing that. I just, whatever.
Under
just,
the proposed.
And if I may add, it's
certainly
basically the intent, I think, of the modification to come in line with the state standards or state code is more or less governing around commercial buildings or commercial projects. So I would say, to take your question a little bit step farther, probably 90% of the buildings that are coming through our office now are coming with a Delaware stamp on there, either architecture or engineering, to fall in line with that. It's the 5%, maybe 10% of the other little, maybe small shops, something like that, that has been what has been in question over the last couple of years.
Right. I think probably the, personally speaking, I would think the commercial thing is one entity, because then if it's a commercial, certainly public's in there all the right. time, that kind of thing. But what concerns me personally is the fact of we're now talking about single family or duplex residences.
Not on the architectural side.
No, I'm sorry, the engineering side. Right. I think the architect side, I understand, and theirs is pretty in black and white, this is what it is. The engineering side, I don't feel as comfortable with. When you read what Mr. Lawson just read.
Yes, I read it myself, I understand.
You read this very lengthy paragraph, if you can tell me really what that says, you're amazing.
And you're an engineer, right?
No, sir.
Oh, you're not? Okay, no, so you're okay. You're like we are. Okay.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, and it sounds like we're already doing what we should be doing.
Right.
Does it open us up to challenges? I mean, I guess if we, if your staff doesn't ask somebody to engineer something, can somebody challenge it? Who would that somebody be? Would it be
most likely be the developer or one of the DAPA boards or the Board of Architects?
Okay, so I say they could challenge it. Are they monitoring what comes through the?
That I'm not aware of. I'm
and
sure
how would
there
they
have
know,
been.
How would they know what's coming in and what's getting stamped and what's not getting stamped?
That I'm not aware of.
Unless they're,
I'm sure they're
coming
I'm
and
sure
checking.
There's agencies amongst within their groups that they periodically check licensings or check projects. That's just my assumption. Yeah.
Yes, and I would point out this is state law now, so
right. oh,
the
that.
County should be complying with the.
But the other two counties, law. To your knowledge, do exactly what you do.
Actually, benefits Mr. Cole. I've actually picked the phone up and called the upper two counties, and they are following to a degree of what the state code is in now. They don't have any thresholds. They're following what the engineering and architecture.
But the determination
said.
They're still making at their county.
Yes,
so like you
they
do
have their plan reviewer, their building official has the discretion now that says, look, well, we don't feel comfortable with this. However, you need to go get this. If it's commercial, then all plans that they have coming through their office is required to be standby.
All commercial stuff.
No.
They right. want architect
with,
and engineering seals.
With one exception is if it's a small space where they're not doing anything structural inside, not changing the layout or anything like that. Most of them understand exactly have been exempt from that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Very interesting.
So a home, say a large home in one of our developments would not come under this at all. This is not residence.
Not under the architectural side, not under engineering
not
side. As the building official and my plan reviewers, if they come and see some just certain aspect, maybe a floor joist or a wall
right.
or a beam
you're going to require.
That falls outside of what the code prescribes, that at that point they may say, look, you need to go have it stamped or certified that says this, or we try to give them options. We don't just restrict that. Oh, go get the seal. We'll say here's some other options that you may do. However, the last resort is go to an engineer and have them certify that mm-hmm. what you proposed is structurally sound, or have them design something that will fall within what you want to do.
And you can look at something that goes beyond this standard code, right? And you can decide that
it's not that big a deal. Maybe we don't think it needs engineering. If it goes beyond that threshold you were talking about,
correct,
where you usually say, you're always saying the positive that you'd go out and ask them to get engineering.
Yes.
Can it go beyond the threshold and you can look at the issue and say, no, we don't think it needs to be. We're okay, we'll give you a buy on it and you can slide without an engineering thing.
Usually, yes.
That can happen also.
There's a small percentage, yes.
Right, can go either way, okay.
Correct.
Would seem like an option would be that the definitions or exclusions that pertain to architects also apply to engineers. That's pretty, I don't know.
But that is not the way the state code is written.
I understand that.
Right.
Well, it's a good thing to bring up and have a little discussion and talk about it. Certainly need to have all five council here to have Mr. Wilson's view also. So we will
defer.
We'll place this on agenda. We'll make sure he's going to be back sometime in January or whatever. Then we'll put it on the agenda. That sounds okay to you?
So we're going to defer action until we have a full council.
Full council, whenever that. Hopefully he's back sooner than later, but whenever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the right thing to do.
We can check on him.
Been going on for a long time.
I'll make a motion. We defer.
Second.
Okay. Gotcha.
You want to make more part of that motion that we'll defer until we have a
full council.
Full council.
Well, make a motion to defer.
Yeah. I just want to make it clear so it's clear for the record that we're deferring for that purpose to have a full council for consideration.
Okay. Have a motion and a second. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
I vote yes. It's a shame because this has been worked on for a long time. But yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yeah. It's been deferred a long time, but we've got a system that seems to be working, so I'm not concerned. I'll vote yes
on the deferment, so it's deferred until we get all five members here. Mrs. Jennings, my.